Okay. Hello, everyone. Right. It's always a challenge every week. Every week that I do this, it's a different, I don't know, it's just, yeah, it's a big struggle in different ways every time. And this has been too. So, we've just prayed. And what we're going to do, there's a little bit I'm going to present, but then I'm actually, it's like a couple of bits, okay? I'm going to present from our passage. So we'll read the passage, I'll present a couple of bits. And then I've actually got quite a chunk here. This is one of those ones where it's a big theme, okay? Not just through all of Scripture, though it is, but even in John's Gospel, Jesus, I am the light of the world, is actually a big theme through John's Gospel. It's actually introduced in chapter 1, verse 4, okay? So I've got a bunch of the verses printed out, so we don't have to spend, you don't have to spend ages shuffling around, but I am going to do the kind of get you into groups and discuss and that kind of thing. If you have a notebook, it's a good time for it, okay? You can make some little notes and we'll feedback. So, sure, let me start with the start. So, the passage we're looking at is, I mean, in particular, John chapter 8, verse 12, right? But let's just have a little look around there. So, I'll read this bit out. So, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I'll continue on a little bit, just so you know the discussion we're talking about here. So the Pharisees say to him, you're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one, yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, which is part of the temple, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. Okay, so that's a bit of context there, right? So I've got a few questions here. I'll read them out, actually, some of the questions we were given to look at. So one is Jesus' use of the phrase, I am, and I'll get to that in a minute. And the context of this statement, where Jesus was, what, why did he say it at that time, that place, that kind of thing. And then we're going to look at the light itself as a metaphor being used by John, by Jesus, obviously, by the rest of the New Testament, the rest of the Bible. It's kind of a big theme. you might also remember the first day of creation. God says, let there be light. So you can say it's a theme from there as well, all the way through, okay? And then something, you know, what does it tell us about Jesus? This is some of the stuff we're going to handle as part of discussion as well, okay? So, okay, let's get to the I am part, okay? So it's been variously pointed out when Jesus, you know, in John's Gospel there are 7, 8 I ams, something like that, where Jesus says something, you know, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the light of the world, yeah? And of course, at the end of this same chapter, we have a truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Okay? Yeah, okay. So, I don't want to spend ages on it. Let's just get this bit out of the way. Is he quoting the personal name of God, at least in the Greek language? Maybe. He might be. Now, the funny thing about this, you know how God introduces himself in Exodus. So if you've got Exodus 3, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. This is Moses talking to God at the burning bush. And the people of Israel ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's quite hard to translate, by the way. It turns out, which is one of the reasons there's so many debates here. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Now in your translation it will say the Lord. Yeah, the, you might say Yahweh, maybe. It's a proposed pronunciation. It's kind of tricky. We know it's like YHVH, but we're not, and we're pretty sure, apparently, on the first, the Yah, the way is grammatically more tricky. So anyway, but this is the personal name of God, okay? He says, you should tell him, and most of our translations will say the Lord as a translation of that. The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So God kind of specifies, this is my name. Yeah. When it says God, that's kind of his. God is what he is. Yeah. Elohim is what he is. Like the Lord or Yahweh or, yeah, or the I am. That's his personal name he gives for himself. So is Jesus quoting that? Well, kind of. So the funny thing about this is, God says my name, he initially says I am is his name, but then he gives them another slightly different version of the name. Apparently, from some of the sources I've heard on this numerous occasions, I am is first person. The difference apparently for the Yahweh, or however it's to be said, is that it's the same thing, but it's in third person, so it's he is. Which makes sense, because he would say, so he's saying, I am, so you're to call me he is. There's still a lot of ambiguity, and I'm not a scholar on the subject, so there you go. I personally think that an interesting way of handling it, it's just my opinion so far, I'm not a learned scholar or anything, but there are a number of reasons why we're kind of translating it the way we are as the Lord, and it goes through tradition and all this kind of stuff, but also there are some genuine, you can't just switch it without consequences. For example, all of the quotes in the New Testament where they would translate from the Old Testament into Greek, they would use the word Lord. So it's really interesting how that works. Yep. My personal opinion is we could maybe do a translation in English as like he who is. If you just say he is, there's not enough there to feel like a name, but he who is might work. Something like that, I don't know. If you wanted to translate it, you can try that in your reading to see what you think. But again, I'm not an expert here. However, I do wonder if this is what John is doing in Revelation 4 when he... Well, I guess this is a vision, so it's what Jesus is doing in Revelation 4, giving to John this vision where, of course, the living creatures gather around the throne and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Again, apparently that he is, it's to some extent not very tensed. It doesn't have a lot of past, present, future specified, so it could be he who was or he who is or he who will be. It kind of is unspecific, apparently. About that, so I've seen various options. So that's just a little aside to say the name of God is an interesting one. You could go with he who is, and I'm wondering if that's what John does, he who was and is to come. Maybe. He might be riffing on that, yeah? So is Jesus quoting the I am when he says, I am the light of the world? I mean, let's put it this way, he's not doing it, yeah? Because you can use the words I am in a perfectly normal way without claiming to be God, can't you? Yeah, and that's what he's doing. Ego ami is the Greek, you know, or some relation. I'm probably butchering it, but that it's just I am. That's what it means. Now, I think later in the chapter when he uses it for, you know, truly, truly, I say of you, before Abraham was, I am. That's a bit more on the nose, right? When he says it at the start of the chapter, I am the light of the world, they dispute with him about how can they know if his claim's true, right? When he at the end of the chapter says, before Abraham was, I am, they just all pick up stones to kill him, yeah? Because they know exactly what he's claiming here. He's doing it in a way. There you go. So, yeah. Okay, that's enough on that part. There's more to look into if you want, but I don't want to spend all day on the I am bit. There we go. The context of this. Where and when is Jesus? It's the Feast of Tabernacles, or for those who haven't been tabernacling recently, we would call it camping. hence, I put up there the Feast of Tents. Okay, right. I'm going to see if I can play this little clip, because it's just a couple of minutes, and then that will get that bit out of the way, and we can get on our main group bit. Okay. So there we go. This is from Bible Project, and it's from a larger video explaining all of John chapters 1-12. Okay, and so, whoops, there we go. So it's from a larger video, and I'm just clipping out a bit of it where he's talking about this chapter.
Let's see if this works. Ooh.
Okay. Nice and loud, Pete, if it's not already.
After this, John has designed another reflection story that took place during four Jewish sacred days.
That totally didn't. Yeah, didn't go onto the screen. Well, that would help. In a second. Drag works. Make big. There we go. That's the previous section.
And if the light is begin now and lasts on into the future. After this, John has designed another reflection story that took place during four Jewish sacred days.
Feasts. And again, Jesus uses the images related to the feast to make claims about himself. So Jesus first heals a paralyzed man on the Sabbath, which starts a controversy with the Jewish leaders about working on the day of rest. And Jesus says it's his Father who's working on the Sabbath, and so is he. And they catch his meaning, that he was calling God his Father, making himself equal with God, and so they want to kill him. The next story takes place during Passover, the feast that retold the Exodus story with the symbolic meal of the lamb and bread and wine. And Jesus miraculously provides food for a crowd of thousands, which results in people asking him for more bread. And then Jesus goes on to claim that he is the true bread, and if they eat him, they will discover eternal life. And this offends many people who stop following him. After this is a block of stories set in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles, which retold the story of Israel's wilderness wanderings as God guided them with the pillar of cloud and fire and provided them water in the desert. And Jesus gets up in the temple courts and he shouts, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink." And then later he says, "I am the light of the world." He's claiming to be the illuminating presence of God and the life-saving gift of God to his people. And some people believe and follow him, but others are offended, and still others try to kill him for these exalted claims. The final feast story is during Hanukkah, which...
The next bit, but anyway, isn't that interesting? Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tents. He's remembering the wilderness journey of Israel. And he's at the feast, he shouts two things. He shouts, anyone who's thirsty, come to me, give him the water of life and all that, right? And he also shouts, "I am the light of the world." It's like he's saying, "I'm God's pillar of fire, follow me." Yeah? It's like, wow, I am God revealing himself to you. Yeah? Cool. This is really good. So, let's just get this bit off the screen. I really recommend these Bible Project videos, by the way. They have loads. Everything on there is excellent. But in particular, if you're reading a book of the Bible and you don't know it drastically well, even if you do, to be honest, then the... what do they call it? They call it the scripture... it's these animated overviews of the books. It's the Read Scripture series, that's what they call it. And they've got these line drawings, and basically it shows you the structure of the book. I don't know if you're aware of this, but biblical books, because they didn't have... Okay, in those days, they didn't have, like, infographics, where you can show structure visually. So what they did is they used narrative structuring and themes and repeated words and, like, verbal hyperlinks to build a structure in the text. So we might read the text and assume it's, like, chronological, and often it is. But often it's chronological and it's got all this symmetry in it and this deliberate, like, this calls back to this and this links forward to this and this foreshadows and this, yeah? So actually, it's very common for biblical books to have this kind of, like, multi-part structure where these things link together. So it's really useful to see a scholar who's worked on it and see them present that. So there you go. Right, moving on. Okay. There we go. So that's the when Jesus said this. So, I am the light of the world, says Jesus. So we've got a link here to John 1:4. Okay, and to be honest, having had a look at this, even in John's gospel alone, the question I was given here says, you know, how else is the theme of light used in the New Testament? And it is, and the Old Testament, it's huge, it's everywhere. There's so much that even just restricting yourself to John's gospel alone, I'll show you how many we got here. At size 14 font, this is the paragraphs in John's gospel alone that have major references to light, as in, like, this one, you know. And you have to understand, this one at the top, this is from chapter 1. Light is introduced as a huge thing in verse 4, as I said. And verse 5 mentions it and mentions darkness, and there's a big thing there. Verse 6 mentions light. Verse 8 mentions it twice. Verse 9 mentions light twice. Yeah, and that's all in the first introductory opening to John's Gospel. Then you've got, like, so many more mentions elsewhere. There's a big section on it in John chapter 3. Where is it? See that passage there? John 3:16 to 18? On the one with the stars here. Well-known passage. Okay. Currently being covered up by drawings, but anyway. Would you like to guess what verse 19 and 20 are about? On the theme of light, yeah? Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to have a look here. I will mention one more thing, which is this theme is constant through John. Except after chapter 12, it's gone. The lights are out, right? I'm not even kidding. I think John is doing this deliberately, okay? Because you'll see, it actually ends chapter 12. And then, as anyone who knows John's gospel will know, that's also where Jesus ends his public ministry. In fact, the last thing that Jesus cries out in John chapter 12 includes light, includes the thing about light, right? And then he's kind of done, and he goes, and chapter 13 starts the Last Supper. And then after that, it's all just private stuff with his disciples. Yeah? So we'll have a look. But what I'm going to get you to do here is, can you guys get into some little groups and things like that? I think I've got like 5 copies, and I'm going to initially just get you guys to have a look through, how does John use the word light? What themes is he bringing out? Okay? Then we're going to start with that. So, there we go. I'll just hand these out. We have to carry on some more in community groups. We'll have to collect together some things. Right. So, I also gave out, as we went on to a couple of people, I gave out a couple of passages from 1 John, the first letter of John. Just stay where you are for now. It's or roughly, I mean, you know, in your groups, I mean. Okay, there's this whole progression. Do you see what I mean? Whole huge progression. I can't even begin to, yeah. But you've got, first of all, you know, in him was life. Life was the light of men. You've got the light shines in the darkness. You've got that kind of introduction, yeah? The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Then you've got Jesus talking about how light is. How would you present the light in chapter 3? Like, what's that bit about? The bit from chapter 3. He talks about how the, you know, light's coming into the world, but people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. So, what's that one? Someone want to call out, like, how's he using the word light there?
One of the best ways of stopping vandalism and break-ins is to floodlight a place at night to the thieves.
Yep.
Stay away.
Yeah, so, yeah. Light does prevent crime, doesn't it? They, like you say, they floodlight a certain place. Yeah, that's true. Improves behaviour and prevents crime. When you're exposed to the light, you know you can be seen. Isn't it true that, like, you know, people, have you noticed how people behave much worse in situations where they're anonymous than they do when they're known. Just think of the internet. Yeah, right? If you can be under an anonymous name, no one who knows who you are, yeah? It's a big thing. So yes, light exposes. So that's one other thing. Light exposes, or light reveals, right? So absolutely. There's a sense. So chapter 3, the issue is that the light might, you know, people might not want to be exposed, right? We might want to stay the way we are, and we don't like that. Okay, chapter 5, here we go. It mentions, it's only a tiny thing, did you notice? It just mentions that John the Baptist was a light. Okay, you were willing to rejoice for a time. Jesus is saying, he's criticizing the religious leaders. You were willing to rejoice for a time in John's light for a bit. What's that kind of light? In what sense was John a light, John the Baptist? That's all right. That's an interesting one. I think this is one of the smaller ones, but do we agree, like, John was a prophet? He spoke for God. So this is something that, like, John was doing some revelation. He was doing some exposing, but he was also doing some presenting of God and what God is like, and, yeah, this kind of stuff. We have, of course, John 8, our passage here. This is the main one. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does it mean to be the light of the world? Does anybody remember the passage? I just want to highlight this because it's like Christmas time. Right? Where are we? I need to find the right bit. Okay. So, because it's Christmas time, how about this? Isaiah 49, speaking of the Messiah. The Lord says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This is prophesied of the Messiah. Now, you understand as well, in John, when John uses the word world, he typically means the nations, all the ungodly people, basically, including those in Israel and outside. So this is a direct crossover. When Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world, he's literally announcing as well, I'm fulfilling this Isaiah 49 prophecy that God will make me a light for the world. Yeah. So he's doing that bit there. Goodness, there's a lot in this. Do you see what I mean? I haven't even brought in most of the rest of the Bible yet. I've got passages for them if you want to take them away and look at them. There's tons. It's everywhere. Then you got John 9. This is interesting. Before he heals the blind man, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Little hint there. You might not have access to me for as long as you would hope to figure out while you make up your mind. Yeah? Yeah? It's worth remembering that Jesus, whilst he was very wise and he knew exactly what he was doing, and sometimes he was careful not to state too much because he knew that people would get ahead of things. But remember that Jesus also knew that he had to die. And so some of the times he uses his wise wisdom to get himself into trouble, not out. Yeah? He knows exactly, he could have answered their questions perhaps in a way that would have placated the religious leaders or even helped them to understand it. Instead, he just escalates sometimes. So he does the light of the world thing. They have a dispute about that. And he finishes off with, all right then, before Abraham was, I am. Now, anyone can tell that's what's going to happen. He could have explained why it was reasonable. And he does, actually. But he does it in a way where he's not trying to stop them being offended. Yeah. So he does that. And then there's this hint in chapter 9. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. John chapter 11, Jesus starts talking in general about the concept of light being providing guidance and direction and everything being clear, and that you got to work while you have the opportunity. He's talking about himself having limited opportunity. He's got time running out. Yeah. Then John chapter 12, it comes up twice and it's big. Twice. So one time you got verse John 12, 35. The light is among you a little while longer. See the theme here? Yeah. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Yeah? Okay. He put the light under a bushel, so to speak, to use the analogy, right? Okay, and lastly, this is the last, like, five verses of John 12. We've got, he cries out again, lots of crying out, yeah? Cries out in John 12, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, and whoever sees me sees who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Yeah? goodness. And this little passage here, this is the last thing Jesus says in John's Gospel before he just goes into private. It's the last public thing he says. Yeah? After that, it's private. So, why does John not talk about light? He literally doesn't mention light or darkness anymore after chapter 12. In fact, weirdly, you would have thought it was a slam dunk, given his theme. He doesn't even mention the darkness at the time of Jesus' death on the cross. The actual physical darkness. He doesn't, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know, those kind of things mention it. John doesn't mention it. He literally doesn't return to the concept of light and darkness. So why? Because Jesus has now been sort of hidden for a time for the world, at least until the resurrection, yeah? You know, when Jesus gets arrested in one of the other Gospels, he says, you could have arrested me any time while I was preaching in the temple, but this is your time when darkness reigns. Yeah? It's like the light has been hidden temporarily. People did what they want. Yeah? They hate the light. They don't like it. So, Jesus is life. The light is life. Yeah? His life can fill us. So there's light in that sense. His light is revelation, both of himself and of God and it puts everything in perspective in a way that sometimes is unpleasant and challenging to us. Yeah, and it's God putting himself out there. And of course we have a thing in John with, well, you have your opportunity now. It's also an opportunity. Yeah, there we go. And he can hide and everything. So I think it's good to talk about this around Christmas time. Have a look at some of the other passages about that. You will find it everywhere in the Bible. Okay, so what I really want us to do in community groups is I've got a big list of passages I can send out easily. There, it's everywhere. But just look out for it yourself in the Bible, okay? Cool. Holy Spirit, please help us. Wow. I feel like we've just, I don't know, stumbled into something, you know? It's like when someone walking in a cave, just pops into my head. It's like we're walking into a cave and then you kind of, one of those scenes in the film where we like, you come through and the cave sort of opens out, and you suddenly realize you're in this gigantic expanse that you didn't know was there. Father, help us. This is huge. Help us to receive your light. Yeah. Holy Spirit, speak to us this week. Help us to meditate on your word. Help us to focus on you before everything else. Would you fill us and be our light? Would your word be the lamp to our feet? Amen.